And good afternoon to you. Thank you so much for being on board here on a Tuesday afternoon. We appreciate the goodness of the Lord and appreciate God's blessing here on a Tuesday. Clear skies as far as radar, clear radar, I should say, some clouds, but clear radar. And I've got a headset that one side has gone out and it's left me out of balance here. And I twisted it a certain way and it come back on. So apparently I have a short in it. Oh, well, so much for that. Anyway, glad to have you with us here this afternoon. We do appreciate, again, you being with us. We appreciate God's mercy and grace here on a Thursday. Well, let's start out by looking at a little bit of what's going on traffic-wise. And we've got some problems. Yeah, there is a wreck, and it is in the construction zone. It is right near the French Broad River on I-26. Now, I-26 only crosses the French Broad River one time. And so it's right there in that construction zone. And it has got traffic backed up all the way back under the parkway, past Highway 146, all the way out past Lake Julian. Not quite to the airport yet, but it is slow all through there and kind of stop and go bumper to bumper to get past this wreck. On the other side, starting just beyond the parkway, it starts getting thick right there near the 146 exit, and you're going to be just really bumper to bumper all the way to the airport, and at one point you may even see a stop, and I don't know why. I don't know why it's that slow, unless it's just the construction, but it is very slow eastbound until you get almost to the airport, and then it'll pick up and be full speed. So we're assuming that this construction's got everything locked down. It has put a little bit of pressure on 191 northbound. And so from about Clayton Road, there's traffic all through Sandy Bottom, all the way up to the Arboretum. And then the 146 light, 191-146 junction, a little slower than usual. It doesn't seem to have put any pressure on 25 and 25A. And 112 Sardis Road looks fine. If we slide on up to the city, you got your normal places. The bridge is a little slow going, I guess that's going. We're going to call that eastbound. You're actually when you cross the bridge, you're actually heading west, but you're on the eastbound I-26 if you followed it through. And it does that. It turns the opposite direction there for a little ways before it turns back east. Anyway, you're going to be slow on the bridge today in that direction. Looking up toward the state line, you're good that way. Looking all the way into Tennessee, no problems there. I don't see anything all the way west. I don't see a whole lot of issues all the way to Murphy today. No problems that I can see. Other than it is tourist season, and you've got folks driving about 40 miles an hour, looking at all the leaves on the trees and all the other things, and it just takes longer to get anywhere you need to go right now. Yeah, especially on these two-lane roads, and you'll see somebody with an out-of-state tag, and they'll have 15 or 20 cars behind them, and it's as if they don't have rearview mirrors. They don't have any idea that there's anyone following them. So it can be frustrating. And but anyway, that's the time of, you know, it's that time of the year. And lots of traffic here in the Blue Ridge Mountains, that's for sure. Looking at Greenville, South Carolina, they're busy right around Pelham Road, about like every day. I-85 north and south, real thick right through there. Other than that, not too bad. So nothing to talk about on the radar. There's nothing that we can see at all today. And so that part of the forecast did come true. The thing we are looking at is temperatures and to see what the temperatures are doing and how well that did and how good the forecast was. Right now, Asheville is reporting in with a temperature of 80 degrees. We're just a little cooler. We're 76.7, but there is a wind that is gusting. If you drop down to GSP, the Greenville-Spartanburg Airport, at the 5 o'clock reading, they were showing 86 degrees. 86 degrees. That's almost exactly what you think it's going to be. This the differential. It'll run Typically, the temperature will run, we figured around here, 7 degrees differential between those two airports. The average, if you'll watch it, it's about 7 degrees. Asheville's about 7 degrees cooler than Greenville. And again, it depends on clouds. It depends on a variety of things. But and then you also, if you're climbing these mountains, you need to remember that as well. The temperature here in the valley, in French Broad River Valley, will be, 80 degrees. But up on the parkway, it's going to be substantially cooler than that. You're going to have a jacket. Yeah, because you will lose, you're going to lose in the neighborhood 5 to 7 degrees per 1,000 feet of elevation. And so even in the summertime, up on top of Pisgah, it's cool, even in the high, in the midst of summer. So just for our trail hikers and all the folks coming in, just something to remember, okay? All right, well, let's see what the weatherman says as far as forecast is concerned. Well, no rain in sight, and by the middle of the week, by the end of the week, we're getting up pretty close to the 90 mark. We'll be at 88 on Friday. And then we start seeing a chance, so only 30% of rain on Saturday night. And then once that starts, it'll be with us through next Tuesday. There's a chance of rain every day. And I think it's the afternoon, evening variety. But there is a stretch of clear weather here. And I believe they actually are going to hit it. They said it'd be clear Sunday. We had a pretty good storm. Said it'd be clear yesterday. Had a pretty good storm. But I think they're actually going to make this one, and we're going to have some clear days here ahead of us, and looking toward rain coming back toward the weekend. All right, the 15th day of June. We're halfway through the month. Isn't that something? Already halfway through the month of June. And the listener's portion today for the general budget being sponsored in thankfulness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for salvation. Also, in thankfulness for WGCR and the staff, and to Pastor Barton and Pastor Walton, and they say here, heroes of the faith. Well, I would certainly agree that about Brother Walton, but appreciate the comment. Thank you. Also, the network today being sponsored in thankfulness to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and for salvation. Also, in thankfulness for WGCR and staff. Mention my name again, Pastor Walton, Heroes of the Faith. Thank you. And whoever did that, thank you so much. Appreciate that. Our own Mr. Garrett Buckner is having a birthday today. Congratulations. Also, Lindsay Jarvis is celebrating. And happy anniversary to Charles and Cheryl Nicholson. And congratulations to them today. And, of course, Charles had to work. But we appreciate them very much. All right, let's see where all in the world we got folks that are with us. We are glad to have today, and this is one that I don't think I've seen this one. We've got Redwood City. That sounds like an interesting place to visit, Redwood City, California. We've got San Jose is with us. East Hartford, Connecticut. I have been through that town on the interstate. Daytona Beach is with us. We've got multiple listeners in Germany. And we're glad to have the city of Kiez in the region of Mecklenburg and Vorpommern is the way I'm going to say it. Plymouth, Minnesota is with us. Nassau, New York. Brevard, Marion, Morrisville, North Carolina. Now, I'm not sure where Morrisville's at. Brevard, Silva, Hendersonville, Canada's on board today. We are glad to have South Australia with us. Adelaide, South Australia. Glad to have the Aussies with us today from down under. Got the whole place lit up there. That looks good on the map. Greer, South Carolina. Houston, Texas. Richardson, Texas. Appreciate these folks. And Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm going to take another run at it. Menomonee Falls, okay? Appreciate these folks. And Miss Horton was trying to educate me the other day how to say it, but I forgot. So there you go. I've got medicine to take to keep me to help my memory. I just can't remember to take it. So there you go. What are you going to do with that? Anyway, we appreciate folks texting us, 577-1296. 4412 says, God bless Pastor Barton and Anchor Broadcasting. Israel, Pastor Barton and Anchor Broadcasting, thank you so much. Thank you so much. Also, happy anniversary today to Alan and Jennifer Martin. And Pastor Alan, Miss Jennifer Martin of the Blue Ridge Baptist Church. And we salute them today. Happy anniversary. All right. God bless you. All right. And anybody else, let us know. We'll be glad to glad to know that you're there. And good to hear from Brother Stroud. Brother Stroud, I heard y'all got into some real, got in real move of God last night. And so we give God the glory. Brother Stroud is preaching at Cathy's Creek. And but Tony Lambert did some work for me, was it last week or week before, and told me about the meeting. And the meeting starts at 7. I've had people asking. And so the meeting starts at 7 o'clock. And last night, we said, God moved in. And so to God be the glory. And so the 7 o'clock meeting tonight, Brother Mark Stroud, at Cathy's Creek Baptist Church. Cathy's Creek is located midway between Brevard and Rosman, and about halfway in the Cathy's Creek community. And so the oldest church in Transylvania County, 200 and something years old. I'm not sure exactly what the something is, but 200 and something years old. And that was my family's home church. All of my family are buried there. And matter of fact, that land was at one time, our family owned the land that the church sits on and all the land around it there at one point, way back when. So, yes, sir. Well, that church started off of French Broad Baptist Church, and that's the French Broad in Henderson County. And to my knowledge, French Broad is the oldest in Henderson County. And then it was this folks come on up the river, and Cathy's Creek was started. And there were records. I don't know if they still exist, but the church actually could have been in another location at one point. Ken Bragg, who was the pastor there, told me that he had found some records in the clock tower, the famous clock tower at Clemson, that there were some old records stored there. And I don't know how he got to go through them, but he did. And he told me that he found communication that Cathy's Creek was a part of the Salem Association, Salem being in the upstate of South Carolina, and that Cathy's Creek was a part of the Salem Association in the year 1802. Now, that's all from memory, and so I could be wrong on that. And of course, Brother Bragg's in heaven, but it goes back there. It does, and it might have even been in the current form, not sure. But anyway, the oldest church, and then, of course, out of that, then the next church started would have been Macedonia in the Silverstein community. And then right behind that, and right, maybe just real close around the same time, would have been East Fork. And so they would definitely be the second church or the second and third church in Transylvania County. So somebody said, what about before then? Well, this area really wasn't settled a lot before then. This was a part of, this was treaty area with the Cherokee. There's a monument to that extent on Tron Peak, or just this side of Tron Peak. And that dividing line, which would now be pretty well the state line, was at one point the treaty line between the Cherokee and the white settlers at the foot of the mountain. And so, of course, all that changed after the French and Indian War. And then it changed even further after the Revolutionary War. So my family bought land in 1809, and they were actually war buddies. The Kings owned the land, and the place was called King's Camp, and it was up on Cathy's Creek. For our locals, you might remember the shooting range. That was the Barton home place. We bought that from the King family. Matter of fact, I was just on a Zoom call with Dan King just a moment ago, and he's got more history than I do on it. We bought land from the King family in 1809, and it was at that point our family were long hunters. They would come in here and hunt the winter. The Cherokee would go down to the foot of the mountain, east of Tow. And this was so the settlers would come into the mountains and hunt the wintertime. They would trap long hunters. And then they would actually take all their pelts and everything and take them down the river and float them all the way to Charleston, South Carolina. Yeah, and that's where they did their trading from. So our area at one point had more to do with South Carolina than it did North Carolina. As a matter of fact, that's when I was a kid. We had family in Greenville. And when we did our school shopping at the beginning of the school year, we went to Greenville. Everybody went to Greenville. The road to Asheville wasn't very good, and nobody went to Asheville. Everybody went to Greenville. And again, you had family down there, and everybody from the upstate married into the mountains and vice versa. And I even had an eye doctor that was in Greenville. And so we'd go back and forth to Greenville to the doctor. That was pretty common when I was a kid. That wasn't a big thing, especially up in Toxaway. They could drop off the mountain and go to Pickens about as fast as they could go to Brevard, you know. And so it was a common thing to go to Greenville, and that was kind of your big town. Matter of fact, there was a years ago, it would have been the 50s or 60s version of Sam's. There was a cash and carry or something down there in Traveler's Rest, and they sold big boxes of stuff, bulk. And people would go down there from up here, they'd drive down there, and they'd load their trunks or their car down with stuff. And they'd buy a whole back end of the car, a station wagon, full of groceries, and come back up the mountain with them. That was common. That was a normal thing. Oh, yeah. I remember it very, very, very clearly. We'd stop on the mountain and get water out of the spring. I remember that as well. That was a common thing to do. And I can remember getting car sick, too. No matter how many times we went up down the mountain, I can remember being car sick. Daddy smoked, and boy, you talk about sick. You'd be green, you know. And my wife remembers the same thing with her dad. She remembers the same thing. So, but that's, you know, of course, at one point, you know, even Georgia claimed this area. And there was a skirmish fought, you know, over that. And I think it was actually called, the Walton War? That was over what this area would be a part of. And there was a time that this area was kind of a no man's land. It was disputed. And so you had a lot of outlaws that came to Transylvania because it really didn't have a jurisdiction as such. When it first started out, and I don't know, and I'm back of the states, but when it was colonies, we were part of Buncombe County. Because if you go back and search our deeds, our deed initially was for Buncombe County, the same piece of property, later subdivided into Henderson County, and then finally in the 1860s subdivided into Transylvania County. We're part of three counties, but never moved. Yeah, kind of the way it did. Yeah, somebody said Greenville Memorial Auditorium Championship Wrestling. They'd take my grandpa. My Uncle Ott had an old Volkswagen, orange and white Volkswagen transporter van. And he'd put Grandpa in that thing and some of the guys, and they'd take off down the mountain and go to wrestling. And my grandpa loved wrestling. I mean, he loved it. And he didn't care about much, you know, as far as the TV and radio. He listened to the news, and he listened to the obituaries every day on the radio. Then he had turned the television on, big old round tube, aerial up on top of the hill. But he didn't watch programs for entertainment. He just watched the news, with one exception. And that was on Saturday afternoon. They would have championship wrestling. I think it was at 2 o'clock. and you'd have Rip Hawk and Swede Hansen. You'd have Sailor Art Thomas. You'd have, I even remember Wahoo McDaniels. That was in his early days. And my grandpa would sit there on that couch with that stick, and that walking stick, and he'd sit there and he'd hit the floor with that stick. And he'd get so mad, and he'd say, "Watch him. Now watch him." He'd take his stick, hit that floor. And you better not, you better not get between him and that television. Everybody knew better than that. And you better not disturb him neither while he's watching the wrestling. Now, he'd work hard. I mean, he'd leave the house at daylight, but he knew exactly what time would the wrestling come on. And then the only other thing I ever remember, he'd always get dressed, his dress clothes on, and come in and sit and watch the Cloud family. Remember the Cloud family, the Indians, wore the headdresses? Watch the Florida Boys on Sunday morning. Jubilee, Jubilee, you're invited to a gospel jubilee. Remember that? And the Cloud family would sing, and some of those old, old, old groups, live gospel singing on Sunday morning. And the other one was Arthur Smith. Remember that? Used to come on before Four built the tower up here on the ridge. The only station we'd get was Charlotte. And I think it was Channel 3. And Arthur Smith. Remember Arthur Smith and the Cracker Jacks? Arthur Smith and the Cracker Jacks, I believe, come on Saturday night out of Charlotte. And if you turn the aerial just right up on the hill, you could pick it up a little bit. It's scratchy, but you could get it because that's all it was. And Brother Ralph, Arthur's brother was Ralph. And they would always sing some gospel music, but they'd sing some other stuff. But Arthur Smith and the Cracker Jacks. You may remember that? Oh, yeah. That's what's all there was. Yeah. And sure. Cash and Carry. Yeah. Cash and Carry. And then Maccabees on 25. That you get produce there at Maccabees. And that's people stop there. Yeah. Appreciate it. 3663. Yeah. Is exactly. So those folks know what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. And some of the locals. Well, yeah, they were. It was a more innocent day than it is today, isn't it? Well, see, Transylvania County was dry, and Henderson County was dry, and I think at that time Asheville was, but South Carolina wasn't. And so there was all these saloons and bars on the mountain. So all the men would take off to South Carolina and get drunk on Friday nights, Saturday nights. Go down 178 down there, go to Scatterbrains and about get your brain scattered. And then there was one on 276 at the bottom of the mountain. There was a, I don't know what you call it, but anyway, it was a bar where they'd go and drink. And of course, there's bootleggers everywhere in between. and that was just a regular part of the existence. And of course, the mountains, they made it. They made the liquor. And then I don't know all the details where they sold it, the ones down there or what. But anyway, yeah, mountains, the mountain people made the liquor. And actually, and I'm not taking up for it at all, but corn was so hard to transport. And, you know, the roads and everything else. So they decided it brings more money if you distill it. And so the mountains became famous for the liquor, not necessarily because that they did all the drinking of it, but because they sold it and it brought a higher price than your corn did. And so it was a cash crop. And so they would distill it, and it was easier to carry the bottles down the mountains and sell it. And they did that. Of course, the movie Thunder Road, if you go back to NASCAR and you go back to stock car racing and all that other stuff, it actually has its roots in bootlegging and trying to outrun the revenuers and having a faster car than the revenuers. And it goes back to the times of Prohibition and, of course, had its roots here in the mountains. The old, old movie, Thunder Road, was filmed right up here at Lake Toxaway. As a matter of fact, I remember as a kid, there was an old car at the bottom of the falls that they ran off the falls. They filmed it. It jumped over the falls, and it went off. And it was laying down there at the bottom. I come out of there the other day, and I thought, I wonder if there's anything left of that old car. Because we used to go to hike down there and see it, laying at the bottom of the down there in Toxaway River. There's an old car used to film in the movie Thunder Road, filmed up here on Whitewater and some of these other roads back in there. Yeah, sure was. And so, yeah, this area had a reputation. And does again today, huh? Now we're the beer capital of the world. We used to be the moonshine capital. The other side of the ridge has taken that, the Tennessee side. Now they're the moonshine capital of the East Coast. And now Brevard is the beer capital. And Western North Carolina is the beer capital. But I had family members go to jail for that. And now the city the commissioners promoted. But back in the day, family went to jail for that, for the very same thing they're doing today. You tell me. Yeah, it's interesting, isn't it? It's interesting how. Anyway, I better move on. All right. Well, let me say again, thank God for His mercy, and thank God for His grace and all the Lord is doing. I just got off of a Zoom call with the islands. I was on with the Caribbeans down in. I was talking with St. Vincent, with one of our pastors there, and the Lord has allowed him to go up into the red zone. And they were saying this, and I hadn't even thought about that, that the ash has acid in it, and it is eating the galvanized roofs up. And a lot of the people don't have any way to get it off the roof, and so it's eating the roofs up. And if they're not painted, it's even worse. And we were also discussing a building that collapsed. It was built with quarter-inch rebar back in the day. And, of course, you could never do that today. That's against code. And so, anyway, it is a tough thing down there. And there's no building going to be taking place anytime soon. It's just the roads are out and boulders. And, I mean, it's just a mess. It's just bad. But we got two churches that are destroyed and lots of houses. Here in the warehouse, we are sitting on 34 hospital beds that are needed in St. Vincent by the hospital. And they're asking for them. We officially turned over all of our medicine that we shipped. Dr. Paul Williams, of course, our medical advisor, and, of course, on this side, working with Dr. Beebe on the other side. And today we handed over, and I don't know what portion, but the total value, we didn't get to ship everything. The ship got full and we couldn't get it all on. But we got the biggest part of it on, as far as the money part. But the retail value of what we shipped, the total value was $149,000 that you helped get down there. And the health Ministry of Health today took possession of all that product. And I'm going to tell you, you thought it was Christmas in the islands. They were so excited. And then we talked to them about the beds. And so we have 34 beds coming. We have 9 that are electric, and the rest are, you know, just the crank versions. And then we have about 35 mattresses. Now, they're not all new. Some of them have been cleaned with bleach and has taken some of the color out. But that's all we have, and so that's what we're going to ship. And we were discussing about how much room that's going to take up. The whole deck of the ship's going to be covered with these beds. We're going to tarp them and put them on, lash them down and carry. So they're too big to carry downstairs, you know, down below. So they'll have to stay up on the decks. So all the whole upper deck of the ship will be covered with beds, these metal beds, and we'll tarp them so they don't get salt water on them. And then we have all these mattresses to deal with. They're about 4 inches thick, size of a hospital bed, probably about the size of a twin bed. Take up quite a bit of room. So we're not sure if we're going to put those out on the deck and lash them down or if we're going to put them in what we call the big room. We're not sure about that yet. But one thing that we have really found out that we're continuing to have is the shipping price continues to go up. And I'm talking about it just continues to go up. You know, I got quotes 2 weeks ago, and it's gone up since then. So I'm stunned at what stuff is costing. They're still not allowing any containers directly. We can't send it. The relief agencies can, but, you know, the governments can't. But we can't send anything directly to the island. So we have to put it in containers and ship it to Puerto Rico, load it on the ship, and carry it down. Now, the Puerto Rico to St. Vincent is not far. It's about 3 days. And so it's not that far. And so we're going to be able to go down, do a turnaround, and come back. Not going to be that that involved. But we got to get all of our product from here to there. So just the shipping cost, is $13,000 to get 2 40-foot containers from point A to point B. $13,000 for 2 containers. That's not buying them. No, that's just the transport fees. You could have got that same deal. You could have got that same thing. You could have bought the container and kept it and shipped it for less than that 2 years ago. We were shipping containers. We were buying them for like $2,200 and shipping them for a couple of thousand. It wasn't bad. But do you know that part of what's going on with all the shortages everywhere is that China has kept all the shipping containers. China saw there was going to be a shortage, and so they got everyone they could find, and they took them to China. And only Chinese goods are flowing. And so what happened was it created a shortage in the rest of the world. So there is a worldwide shortage of shipping containers right now. It's crazy. Part of it's because there's like 250,000 containers at sea waiting to be unloaded. And then China got, you know, a few years ago, China did just the opposite. China was building shipping containers, and they put this thing on that they didn't want them back. In other words, to get their products, you had to buy the container and ship it one way. And that's how these containers stacked up down on I-85. That's how they came to be. But they were a thinner, one-way container, and China would not allow them back in their country, even though they built it. And what it was to boost their steel exports, and it was also to basically destroy the steel industry here in the United States. And that's pretty well what it did. So we are facing right now shortages because there are no containers and China has them all and won't turn loose of them. Only with Chinese goods in them is the only way they will ship them. The ports are behind everywhere and we can't get the product unloaded, and so we're in a mess. And America is now going to see shortages of a whole nother variety of products, a whole bunch of other stuff. We had a grease and a solvent manufacturing plant explode yesterday. So add grease and carburetor cleaner and all of those products. Add those to your endangered species list, because they're going to be. Along with sheetrock, mud, anything that uses resin, try to find a fiberglass shower stall or a fiberglass bathtub. Try to find anything, Evantec or anything that uses resin. There's a resin shortage. There is a latex shortage. And, of course, they use latex and sheetrock mud. And so there's a latex shortage. There's a compressor shortage. They come out of Brazil, and Brazil's only been running at about 50%, and we can't get them shipped in here from Brazil. Oh, yeah. There's the car industry. you know, I mean, they're in a mess because they can't get parts because it's outsourced all over the world, and particularly microchips. And with India's big shutdown, we can't get the microchips to get to build cars with. And so, therefore, go by the new car dealers and look at their car lots. I would dare say you've never seen the new car dealers as empty as they are right now. You've never seen it that empty. They'll have some used stuff, and you'll have some you know, I have seen some Jeeps on the lot. I've seen some other things. I need a car. I need a rental car. I'm flying, let's see, the week after the WNC camp. WNC camp starts on the 4th of July, but the Brian McBride starts there on the 5th, runs through Friday. I fly out the following Monday. I'm flying into Salt Lake and then from there up to Logan, Utah for a missions conference. And there are no rental cars out west. There's not any rental cars. What would you think that a small car, it's not a subcompact, but it's a compact. What would you think that 7 days out of Salt Lake City, what do you think a small car would cost? Would you believe that it's over $1,000 for a week to rent that automobile? Yeah. It's unbelievable. You can't find them. You can't get them. You can't get rental cars. Well, what happened was, last year during COVID, all the car companies, they didn't buy any new cars. Well, because nobody was renting them. Nobody was going anyplace. And, of course, all the big car companies didn't make any cars or didn't make as many. So the combination of the two, but they went ahead and sold off their cars that were scheduled to leave. They sold those. And that's primarily how most of the rental cars survived last year, was selling off the fleet and not replacing it. So what's that done? There's a shortage. The same thing has happened with semis and box trucks. If you're thinking about renting a box truck, and I don't know about the home version, but I do know something about the commercial kind. If you're looking for a Dock Height Penske, whatever, that style truck, a commercial truck, you better have reservations. And you better have them weeks in advance. This thing of your truck breaking down and you pulling in and renting a truck and going on, forget it. Forget it. You know, trying to get a semi, it's not happening. It's upside down. It really is. And so we have been affected in so many different ways. We've been affected, and the effects are continuing. By the way, and I didn't bring it, but I've got a breakdown of how you spent your money in the past year. It's pretty amazing where Americans spent their money at and where they didn't spend it at. Yeah. And so it's caused some booms in some industries, and it's caused other industries to go completely bust. Yeah, sure did. The restaurant industry, I mean, it's hard hit. And still can't get help. As long as the government pays people not to work. And by the way, that's a real good enticement into socialism. Absolutely. Pay you to stay home. And that's a real good, that's a way to get the vote towards socialist, doctrine, is to pay people not to work. And you make more money staying home than you do if you work. But I want to share this with you. This was on something, and it was a sign, and it said this. A restaurant on their sign out front said, "Please be courteous to the people who chose to come to work today so they could serve you. The wait times will be longer. It'll take longer to seat you. It'll take longer to cook it. It'll take longer to serve you. But please don't be mad at the ones that chose to come to work, because they chose to come to work to serve you." That's a good lesson to remember, isn't it? Yeah. Have you noticed the age of the folks that are serving and the age of the folks that are working? Lots of older folks. You notice that? Oh, yeah. Lots of older folk. So, oh, yeah. Well, if you qualified for any food stamps, they lifted the restrictions. And so food stamps have been flowing absolutely like water. And that has, of course, that's hurt us at the warehouse. That's hurt a lot of things. But so families have been getting these large amount of food stamps, as well as the state unemployment and then the federal unemployment. And you literally can make more money staying home than you could going to work. And as long as they continue to do that, as long as this administration continues to pay people to stay home, we're in real trouble because of the workforce. Here's a side effect. Now, I want you to think about this. This administration is very much in favor of open borders. Wait till it's time to pick the crop this fall, and there's nobody to pick it. In other words, do you see what all this does, the strategy of all this does? The strategy of all this is that eventually the American people will demand that we open the borders and let some people come in who are willing to work. Because you can't manufacture anything, you can't cook anything, you can't grow anything because nobody's working. It's not that there's jobs everywhere. It's just that nobody will work. A restaurant the other day hired two people. They worked one day and never came back. Did you know now that restaurants, they still got their dining halls closed? You know why? It has nothing to do with catching COVID. They don't have enough people to clean the tables and to staff it. So only thing they can do is run the drive-thru with about three people. We went to Taco Bell in Pisgah Forest yesterday afternoon, and it was closed in the middle of the day. I have no idea why, other than nobody came to work. It's the only thing I can figure. Yeah, it is. It's a tough time. And, again, we're going to see. If anything, I think you're going to see some things actually get worse instead of any better. I really do. I think you're going to see some things get worse in certain sectors. I think you'll see it get worse. And at this point, people are willing to pay any price. They're just willing to pay any price for, you know, to get what they want. And it's shocking what it's doing. One motorcycle place said they had 98 motorcycles bought, paid for completely, sight unseen, list price, and they didn't know when they'd be able to deliver them. They had 98 motorcycles that somebody paid full price for, and they have not been able to even, they don't even know when they're coming. Don't even know when they'll have them. Do you believe that? Yeah, that's what they said. So anyway. All right. Well, thank you for being with us this afternoon. I was waiting to see if they'd tell us about the young lady that had the breathing issues yesterday and see if we got anything on that. And all right. Happy birthday all the way out in Springdale. I believe, is that Springdale, Arizona? Or is that which one's AZ? That'd be Arkansas, AR. In Springdale, happy birthday to Hannah Ford. Hannah Ford. We have a road here named Hannah Ford Road. Yeah. There's Alan Ford, and then there's Hannah Ford. It's common to folks around here. Happy birthday today to Hannah in Springdale. Congratulations. 479 area code. Glad to have you with us. All right. Well, got to go. Thank you for being on board. Ask you to pray for a wayward son. We'll also ask that you'd pray for the lost, pray God to convict, pray for a man who is a agnostic, pray that God will touch his heart and intervene, and then pray for the Lord's will concerning a couple of other situations God knows. Pray for those that are bereaved and then those that soon will be. Pray for them, please. Okay? Thank you so very much. Thank God again for His goodness and grace. Let's pray together. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, would You show Yourself mighty? Lord, do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Lord, thank You for the move of God last night in our area. Lord, I pray You'd do that again tonight and even beyond. And Lord, would You give Brother Stroud the message, and Lord, use him in a mighty and powerful way. Lord, we thank You for loving us. We thank You, Lord, for all that You've given and all that You've forgiven. We pray in Christ's name. Amen and amen. I'm Pastor Randy Barton. Till we meet again, whether on the air or in the air, may God richly bless you, is our prayer.